Hey guys, we're back with episode 4 of the Whiskey Bravo Squad. Today we have two special guests. The first guest we're going to hear is Baseball Dream, and he was able to go ahead and go through all the stadiums. And we also have Knifing Sloth here as well. RJ, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and how you're able to go ahead and do that whole Baseball Dreaming adventure.
All right. Hey everybody, my name's RJ. I was a member of the military, served in the Army from 2006 to 2012. I did my second tour overseas to Afghanistan in 2010-2011. And when I was deployed, you know, we all talk about what we want to do when we get home, these big dreams and aspirations we have. And we start talking about that when I was in Afghanistan, and I start thinking that most people who said they want to do big stuff when we were in Iraq didn't go through with it. So I came up with this plan to do something big and actually follow through. And I decided I was going to go to all 30 major league ballparks in one summer by driving. And so I rented a car. I planned it all out, most of it when I was overseas. Got home in October of 2011 and planned it all out, the rest of it out, made my connections, and hopped on the road. And drove for 72 days around the country, visiting all the parks.
Now that's 72 days is how long it took to do the whole adventure then, right?
Yes.
How many of those nights did you have to actually stay in a hotel?
I actually stayed most nights in a hotel. There's only like, I don't know, 3 times where I stayed in a car. I planned it out to where I'd have enough time to actually enjoy a city or spend a little bit of time there rather than rushing around. So I stayed in my car maybe 3 or 4 times, spent a lot of money on hotels.
Now, were the other teams, that you know, the MLB teams able to help you out, free tickets, help you stay anywhere for a night? Any teams you want to give kind of a special shout-out to that really helped you out?
Well, when I decided I wanted to do this trip, I just typed in, like, baseball or go to all the baseball parks into Google or something like that. And I found this website called ballparkchasers.com. And it's basically just a social community of people who enjoy going to all the baseball parks. So I reached out to them and I asked, you know, for advice and everything. And they told me I need to contact all the teams. So I contacted every single team in MLB. I sent them tons of letters, emails saying, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. Can you hook me up? And most of the teams were able to give me free tickets. Several of the teams gave me like tours and stuff like that, free swag, t-shirts, hats, stuff like that when I go different places. Some of the teams, not so much. Like the New York Yankees, they sent me a gift bag of like a bear, a hat, you know, a water bottle.
But they call that the get the fuck out bear.
Yeah,
right. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they didn't give me anything else. They didn't even send a letter with the package.
Yeah, they could have just not sent you shit, though. At least you got a teddy bear that you could snuggle with.
Yeah, I snuggle with it every night. But also the Cleveland Indians, one of the writers or a blogger in that area from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com, he got a hold of my story, and he invited me out to Cleveland. He got me hooked up with the Indians, and in their social media suite, they showed me around town. I was on the field for batting practice, got to meet some of the players. Got to spend the game in the suite, and made an amazing connection with them. And actually, just this last weekend, I was in their social media suite again as one of their guests. So they're probably my favorite team when it comes to being fan friendly. Although I am a Tigers fan, I love the Indians, and that sounds kind of crazy.
I thought the Indians owners are normally like known to be these assholes who don't want to spend any money on their team.
They do.
They kind of have that reputation, but. When it comes to interacting with the fans and the things they're doing in Cleveland, because let's face it, they haven't had a very good team for quite a while now, and they really started to focus on what the fans want. Like, they dropped down their concession prices this year. You can get a 12-ounce beer for $4. There's no other.
Oh, that's pretty cheap. Yeah. Normally they're like $8 to $10 or something crazy like that. You guys go to any other baseball games? You know, Sloth?
Not really.
No, I've been a few Diamondbacks games here in Arizona, but that's about it.
Isn't Arizona like perfect baseball weather?
I would think so. I mean, I haven't been in our stadiums, but I mean, it's pretty warm.
Do you ever go to any Cactus League games, like spring training out there?
No, but I know come March, man, like we have a bunch of out-of-state visitors that come for spring training. Like the Giants are here, I believe, and then we have the Angels, and then I think Seattle Mariners as well, man. So pretty much just spring training all over the Valley come March time, and it's pretty hectic around with the people from Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, all the Midwest states. So.
Are you knocking us Midwesterners?
Hey, man, I'm just saying, it happens when it snows over there. You guys come to Arizona for some reason for a couple months.
Hey, and you drive should really come slow. Up here for a little bit so you can actually, you know, admire what you got going on down there.
I actually want to see you guys come to Canada right now. It's mid-April, and we're still having blizzards outside. Like, last night, we had fucking snow outside. I was like, this is not happening.
I think we actually had a little bit of snow on the ground yesterday. Nothing to, like, stick or anything like that. But I put in a dock yesterday, and it was freezing balls the entire time. It absolutely sucked. But that really doesn't matter. What I wanted to go ahead and ask you there, baseball, is did you go ahead and track this? You blog this? You have somewhere where people can go ahead and read about your experience through this whole thing?
Yeah, I started a blog when I was out on my trip. It was just some way that I could interact with people and get connections while I was going out. Plus, you know, I was able to document this once-in-a-lifetime type trip, you know, so I can refer to it later on down the road. And that's just baseballdreamin.blogspot.com. I still actively use my Twitter handle, baseballdreamin, and I talk to different MLB organizations. And I also documented it through Facebook, and I have my own Facebook page, baseballdreamin, which since the baseball season is up and running again, I start to use a little more. Took a little bit of time off for the winter. But I actually plan on doing this trip again in 2015. And I will use all this stuff as well as a YouTube channel. So when I do it again, I'm going to do it right. You know, video as much as I can. And hopefully, I was planning on writing a book after the first one, but I might actually wait until the second one to combine the two.
This is going to be a picture book. Those are my favorite kind of books, the picture books.
I'll make a picture book just for you.
Now, do you guys have any kind of dreams, like trips that you guys would like to take, you know, that RJ kind of did as well here?
Oh,
has anybody
yes.
Have anything like that?
Yes, definitely. Moving to California, that's it.
Just getting the hell out of that snow in April.
Yes, oh my god. Like, I'm sick and tired of this already, and especially here living in Canada, dude. Hockey players all over the place, and honestly, I'm not the biggest hockey player or anything, never played hockey, did play for little, but then I got rid of it and never tried it again, and I don't want to say all hockey players are cocky, but most of them are here, and I have a lot of friends that are cocky too, so they're all hockey players, so I don't know, I'm not judging any hockey players, I'm sorry if there's any hockey players out there, but you know, from knowing what I know the hockey players are here, like, they're pretty cocky, so I just want to get the fuck out of here and go to California.
Yeah, my roommate's a hockey player, and I'd have to agree with you. He can be a little on the cocky side, as well as his hockey friends. So that's where you're coming from on that one.
And yeah, I'm surprised you said you want to go to California. Not once did you mention the Golden Brown Women or anything like that. The beach or nothing, man. It was just to get rid of hockey players?
Just the warm weather, too, dude. And people actually play basketball there, and I'm actually a huge basketball fan. So.
Oh, okay. I see you got the Brooklyn Nets hat on.
Yes.
You say you're taking for the Nets, huh? I like the Heat. I am a LeBron fan. I know I get a lot of hate about that, but I've said it from day one. He is a badass player. So, how about Mr. Punkman? You got any kind of dream vacation or trips that you'd like to do?
I actually just like to go to Europe for one day, man. Maybe just go, like, you know, country hopping. That'd be really cool to me. Just experience that kind of culture, that lifestyle, the food. I just want to go travel like to different countries. You know, all the country I've been to was Mexico, out of, you know, close to Arizona. But besides that, I'd like to go visit Canada, maybe, you know, France, Italy, England, all that kind of stuff, man. So maybe in the future one day.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool to go to Europe just because I'm kind of a history nerd. I absolutely love that. And I would just like to see some of the old architecture and everything they got going on over there and just some of the historical, you know, events. And also, I think it's really cool that you can go to so many different countries within a short time span. Here in the U.S., we don't realize how big and how expansive, you know, the United States really is until you go over into Europe and you're like, this is like just like another state over. It's
right.
A different country, a whole different rules, you know, now they have the same currency at least, but for a while there it was a whole different currency as well.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe just take a train, dude, like, you know, for maybe like one country and just travel to all the states and stuff. So
I can tell you right now, the trains are horrible. Just letting you know.
Have you been over to Europe?
Yeah, I'm from Germany for... I've been raised there for like 9 years, and then, I don't know, my parents just decided...
Said, let's fuck this Germany, let's go to fucking Canada.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I don't know, dude, but I haven't on trains like the last times I remember. Yeah, they were pretty horrible. They're pretty dirty, and people are not the nicest, and yeah, I don't know, I don't like trains.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never really been on a train.
I spent some time over in Germany for about 3 weeks. I got sick when I was in Afghanistan, and they sent me over to a hospital in Germany.
Is this for treatment?
Yeah.
Is this like penicillin or something like that?
Yeah, I just got a little sick, so they sent me out of the country, and I got to experience, like, there wasn't anything seriously wrong with me or anything like that, just a little kidney trouble, and they sent me to Germany. I was stuck there for a couple weeks, and we kind of were left on our own, you know, able to sneak off the base from time to time. And hopping on those trains in Germany, had no idea what their language was. You know, just sitting there all confused, trying to ask the locals, you know, where do I, you know, what do I do? Where do I go? You know, this type of thing. And I was so lost. But what's nice about that is the last weekend I was there, I was like, you know what, if they're not sending me back home or back to Afghanistan this weekend, I'm going to go to Paris. It was like 2 hours from where I was. Unfortunately, they sent me back to Afghanistan this week. Or that weekend, but it would have been pretty cool just to, you know, hop on a train and go anywhere you want, basically.
That's definitely fun.
Now, a big question I have to go ahead and kind of wrap up your cross-country adventure you kind of went on was, if someone wanted to do this, let's go ahead and take out any of the kind of free swag you got, how much could someone expect to spend to be able to go to all 30 ballparks in, say, you know, around a 30-day time span?
90 days,
I'm sorry.
All right, a 90-day, that's more realistic. You can do it in that short of time, but it just makes it more expensive. Realistically, if you're going to want to stay in hotels, you know, eat real food rather than
fake food?
As opposed to fast food or, you know, garbage all the time.
Eat at the nice restaurants while you're there.
Yeah, realistically, it's, I would say, between 15 to $25,000.
Wow.
Damn, you can get a mail order bride for that.
Yeah, but I mean, there are people who do it for relatively cheap. You know, they camp the entire way. They, you know, they use couchsurfing.com, and they stay with strangers.
I've heard about that, dude. It's creepy.
I did that. I did that a couple times. Weird wow. experiences from that. But
I mean, what is it? Is it like a, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine type thing?
Couchsurfing.com is just a pretty cool website. It started off in Europe, and it was just like people with similar interests, like, you know, wanted to travel. And you meet up with these people in these cities, and they show you the culture of their city, all like the cool bars, you know, stuff like that. And you get a profile going, and once people realize you're not some creeper and they're not going to like keep them in their basement. You build that profile, and then you can, once you go traveling, you know, Europe or wherever, people can verify that you're not a freak and you can stay with other people as well.
Sounds like a predator haven there.
Yeah, there have been a couple murders off from it, but I'd say the good outweighs the bad.
Now, did that start out as a way to, like, you know, hook up type thing?
I have no idea, but I wouldn't doubt that happens.
It sounds like a... Silence of the Lambs, like, it puts the lotion on the skin kind of scenario thing, dude. So
there's definitely some bad scenarios that could come out of that.
All tucking it and shit. All right, and then our other guest that we have here actually made the nice logo. I don't know if you guys can see it here, the new Whiskey Bravo logo that we have going on. It's Knifing Sloth. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your channel and pimp yourself out.
Oh, this is going to be a long story. My name is Knifing Sloth, but other people call me Willow because I did have a YouTube channel before this YouTube channel, but there's a little issue that happened between when I tried to release a video, and that was after I took a huge break from YouTube and just tried to start something new on YouTube, and that kind of completely went wrong, and then that went wrong, and then I was trying to post this video that I've been working from for like a long time, and it was about the Battlefield 4, I think, is coming out, and I had like every detail in there that just to keep people updated and just kind of grow my attention, my audience and subscribers, and just kind of get more feedback and stuff. And when I was finished making the video, and I had the trailer and I gameplay from the Battlefield 4, like the community channel, and I just took it all from there, downloaded the videos, like any other person could, and then I posted on YouTube. When I got done, after about one day, I wasn't on YouTube, so I checked out what the video was like, how many likes, whatever I got, and it just told me it was copy strike, I think it's called, and they removed the video and let me know what I did wrong and stuff, and it just said that pretty much I copied that stuff and that blah blah blah, and then I checked if my stats were okay. No, of course, I look at all of them, they're red, and then I was just completely lost. I didn't know what to do. At that point, I was talking to Mr. Punkman, trying to discuss what I was supposed to do, and after a week or so, I send YouTube a message saying that, like, I've seen other YouTube people do it, like the big YouTubers, like Whiteboard 7 Street, and just like Syndicate, and those people that are huge on YouTube, they pretty much have the same gameplay and trailer like me, but they didn't get copyrighted, I guess, and I did, so I told them a message saying, why did I get this, and blah, I don't know, long story, but they just sent me a message saying back that we're sorry and stuff. But now, when my stats are still, there's one stat that's not okay, it's like on bad, and then the other ones are just on good, but I tried looking if my partnership will still be able to get that partnership, and all the partnerships told me no, and I just kind of looked for the information, and you know, partnerships is pretty big to me. I was hoping for like 126 subscribers, I was hoping partnership will come around 150, somewhere in between there, but now there's no partnership, and I was thinking, I can continue on trying to do YouTube without a partnership and just kind of daily post and stuff, but I was thinking to myself, there will be no point if I continue YouTube for a partnership. You know, with a partnership, you can always like grow your audience and get more subscribers, of course. And yeah, I don't know. And then I started knocking sloth, and I hope I can get a couple videos out today, actually, because you know, after this maybe broadcast, I can go get some gameplays. And just trying to get my stuff back. Long story.
So this is a brand new channel. You don't have any videos on it yet?
No, not yet.
Now, you weren't partnered before this then, so you were trying to get a partnership and then had it up there, and they hit you with the copyright strike.
Yep. That's how it works, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we all kind of fear of. You know, we all kind of, at least I contemplated what I could do with the Battlefield 4, and I know since I have a partnership, there are certain things I can do. But I know also that EA is pretty picky with who kind of does that. And I think you kind of have to have a deal going on with them before you can post their stuff before a certain, you know, deadline date. And it sucks because it's going to make it extremely difficult because everyone knows to get to that 100 subscribers, it's a ton of work. And not only is it a ton of work, it's extremely frustrating because that initial growth is so slow that it's just really frustrating. And to get it there and then, you know, kind of have a video, which I'm sure you said you put a lot of time into, so you think this is going to be the one that's going to get me noticed. You know what I mean? There's a lot of effort into this one, and just get that swift kick in the balls that, you know, it went wrong so horribly, so quickly. It can be extremely frustrating, and now it's, you know, trying to get remotivated to start that whole adventure again can be kind of frightening. And baseball, you said you were thinking about starting a YouTube channel when you kind of redo your whole adventure. This is the kind of stuff that you're going to have to deal with. What kind of video you can and cannot put up there. For example, gameplay. You might not be able to put actual footage of the games on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, MLB is notorious for copywriting everything that's theirs. Like, people have tried to bring video cameras and stuff in the park before. Like, you can film something on your phone and put it on YouTube, but MLB, I guarantee you, will find that and have it taken down. They're just relentless. Anything that's shown that they own, they want to be getting paid for it, absolutely. There's a lot of people who have tried making documentaries, stuff like that, about the ballparks, and it's just an incredible task. I actually have a friend who is in film school right now, and he's working on trying to get rights to be able to follow me around and film it.
There you go. That's definitely the way to go. And you'll also see when you start posting that stuff on YouTube of your daily, you know, kind of ordeal, your daily vlogs, that it's going to really consume you. And YouTube is going to be bigger than you kind of ever could have imagined it would be. The things you'll find yourself doing, checking your phone when you go get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom just to see if someone left a comment, and that kind of stuff. But it's super fun. It's super exciting as well. So I figured we go ahead and jump into some quick gaming topics. Baseball, I know you're not a huge gamer, but you used to play some games. I know I used to kick your ass in some 007 back in the day.
yeah, you did.
But who didn't have that happen to him? The first thing I'm going to go ahead and talk about is, Sloth, do you play on the PS3 or the PC?
I play on the PC.
You're a PC, so I am the only one here with the new Uprising map pack, huh? Yes, I'm going to gloat for a little bit. It's so fun. I have so much fun while you guys sit there and wait. You know, so far, the map pack, I actually, as you guys know, I work and do all this fun shit on the side, and I don't get a ton of time to play and make my videos, but I did get a nice little grind session in this last week, you know, a couple nights. And it just brings a whole different, you know, rebirth into the whole game so far. And have you guys seen a lot of videos online at all?
Oh, I definitely watched a lot of the Mob of the Dead, Noon Zombie map. Yeah, it definitely looks good.
Yeah, I've been watching that. And like I said, we have talked about before how I do not play zombies just because of how long it takes. I think I might give it a shot just because that one kind of looks fun. But as far as the other maps, we know that Studio is just a kind of framework, retextured firing range. Did you guys like Firing Range in Black Ops?
Oh, I did. That was one of my favorite maps back then. Nuketown was a little mainstream and just like kind of overrushed, I guess, and then just Firing Range was like perfect.
Same here. I got to say that Firing Range actually was one of my favorite maps too in Black Ops. I just love playing Domination, that map. It was just so fun. And then even like, you know, the party games or, well, the wager matches back in the day. But seeing the new videos off of YouTube for the new DLC, Studio by far looks like this would be the one that I'm going to like the most. I just think that they did an awesome job with the whole movie set thing.
Yeah.
And that one part of the map where like you're like small, like you're where the building surrounding you, like, I think it's towards the back of the map. I don't know what area that is, but it looks like you're like a little city kind of thing. And that just looks amazing. And the dinosaur... I'm looking forward to playing that stuff.
It's definitely really nice. A lot of people are actually complaining because a couple of the lines of sight have changed a little bit. But to me, just the entire, you know, retexture of it, the sound on it is absolutely fantastic. And I like having a map that you kind of already know. As a lot of you guys know, the biggest thing in any game really is understanding the terrain and understand, you know, where your opponents are coming from. And it seems like Firing Range is one of those maps that's pretty well laid out. They don't have those, you know, horrible spawn flips that happen every now and then. It seems like Nuketown, that's my biggest concern with Nuketown, is you never know where the hell people are spawning from. They're all over the place constantly.
Right.
So have you guys also have seen Encore? Encore is this, it's a concert-type setting. I think it's actually in Germany. And it's over there, and it's kind of a small map, kind of has some buildings as well. It's almost like they're trying to do Stadium. You guys remember Stadium for Black Ops.
Exactly.
And a lot of you guys will talk about how we pay $50 a year to have, you know, all the downloadable content for Black Ops. You said you bought it, Mr. Punkman. I think you did too, is right, Sloth?
No, I didn't. I did not actually. I don't go over that. I usually just go with the map packs that I go, and I'm just waiting for the Uprising to come. I'm buying that right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... Especially with you guys getting a month later than everybody else. We are 6 months into the game. We're just now getting the second one. You guys still haven't gotten it. Is it really worth spending that $50 up front, really, you know, blind faith, not knowing what they're going to go ahead and produce for you? And I'm just kind of wondering, it seems like these are really two maps that are just retextured from old games. And Vertigo is kind of like, I forget what map it is on Modern Warfare 3, where you're on top of everything. And Magma's just kind of... like Aftermath, you know, it just seems like this map, you have really two really nice maps. I do like Encore, even though it's kind of redone. I absolutely love Studio, but they're kind of lackluster as far as a full package for the price that they're charging. And does this bug you guys at all?
Oh, it does. Like, if you think about it, like, when you already spend the money for the game to buy, I'm totally not agreeing with, like, spending that extra $50 or just, like, the money for the one DLC. I feel like Call of Duty should just, like, maybe lower the price a little. I'm not saying that, like, I'm kind of complaining right now, I guess, but I feel like it's kind of wrong for me to buy the game first, and then I, like, people on PlayStation and stuff get the stuff later than Xbox, and we still pay the same thing for them, but they get their stuff earlier. So I think like maybe the Xbox stays on that 50 price, and then PlayStation and PC, like I don't know, maybe the price can go lower or something. I don't know, but I'm not really happy with like that type of stuff that they're charging the money that much, and we still don't get that stuff earlier than you guys on Xbox, of course.
That's a good point, man. I didn't think about that, but that makes sense. I would totally agree with that because it kind of deters me to buy the DLC and the new map packs because, for one thing, yeah, they are a month behind, and I'm just tired of waiting, a month behind just to get the new camos or the new maps or the new zombie stuff. But I actually did not buy the $50 packages here from Black Ops 2. I bought it from Modern Warfare 3
Yeah, I did
on
too.
Elite, and I looked forward to that because I knew every month I was getting something regardless of whatever the maps are going to be or something, but I'm looking forward to Uprising. I will buy it actually, and I think seeing the gameplay from Magma, I kind of had higher expectations, I guess, because regarding this like the whole, I saw some domination matches on there, and like that B flag looks like a pretty cool area to capture. But overall, I'm looking forward to Studio the most, and I'm sure I'll be playing that one a lot.
Good, good. Now, my other question here is to go ahead and get baseball kind of in it, since you're not really a gaming type. I want to know someone who doesn't play a lot of video games, because I think that all three of us are going to have the same viewpoint on this question. But how do you feel is too young for video game or for kids to be playing a game such as Black Ops 2, these first-person shooters that are kind of gory and kind of, promote gun violence?
I'm not sure. I've never really given that much thought. Gosh, I don't know how. Like, I have an 8-year-old sister, so I'm trying to think if I'd be comfortable with her playing it. I don't know. Probably like 10. Is that a good age? Like, I don't know.
And
Like,
this is your personal opinion, don't they? Now,
well.
10 I think is all right for some of the game modes, but I think there's one thing I wanted to discuss, but I'll go ahead and let these guys give their answer first and kind of dive into it. What do you guys think is a good age?
I personally feel that. Oh, go ahead, man.
No, yeah, you talk first, though. Go first.
I say like when it comes to like the campaign, I think pretty much I agree. Maybe like age 10 to 12 would be fine, but when it comes to multiplayer, I know like when I play PS3 online, you'll be in the lobby with kids who are like 8, 9, 7 years old, and they're playing with like adults like me or other teenagers and stuff, and I feel that those kids shouldn't be exposed to like maybe some of the conversations that are going on. A lot of the cursing, just a lot of the trash talking in general. And sometimes it's kind of disturbing to hear like an 8-year-old kid say the F word or say shit. Like it's funny, but it's kind of disturbing at the same time because this kid's young and I'm sure their parents don't want to hear that come from their mouth. But personally, I played Doom when I was younger and I don't recall how old I was, maybe like 6, 7. And I just think it depends on the person and if your parents are cool with it. But I think I turned out okay. I'm not like some crazy lunatic that, has like 1,000 guns or anything like that, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I don't know, like I'm the youngest one here at age 13, so and I still play Call of Duty. So pretty much when I started playing Call of Duty, and I was like 10 and 11, I think, when I started playing in the multiplayer. But before that, I used to play like it was like Wipeout games, and where you like, I don't know, just like parkour games. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is, parkour, or like skateboard games, Skate 14 and stuff like that. I don't
They
know,
have
just
like
like.
parkour. Now, parkour is the running around and using the obstacles. Just they have games that's parkour though.
Yeah, they do. Like my brother used to like buying games on the PC because me and my brother are like a huge PC fan, so I pretty much grew up playing PC. But I do have a PlayStation. I would actually, if I ever do get like a PVHR, whatever they'll call them, to record your PlayStation, the gameplays, I would definitely play on PlayStation than actually on PC, because PC's pretty harder to actually like, because when you play on PC online and stuff, and there's no host for the internet connections and stuff. You're the only person who is controlling your internet, and if your kind of internet is just sucking today, that's bad luck for you. So, I don't know. It sucks so much, but when I started playing Call of Duty and stuff, I started off with the campaign, and my parents already started telling me that I should not play as much because I was only like 10 and 11, and when I got into the multiplayer stuff, I was kind of, I don't know, people would start swearing around me, and I did not like it because I'm that type of person who doesn't swear a lot, but I seem to, like, now at age 13, I do swear a little, but when the people start swearing, like, I kind of picked it up right away, saying the fuck word and just all that, and, you know, I think at the right age to play, actually, I think is, like, 13, like, now, I think, like, you're immature enough to understand that, you know, you can actually play this, maybe, and, you know, don't go crazy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I kind of think that right around that 10-year-old mark is actually pretty good for the campaign, just because, you know, it's all kind of a controlled environment that you have there. In Call of Duty, yeah, in the campaign, you'll have them say the you know, a couple curse words, but nothing super crazy, nothing like that at all. And but when it comes to the multiplayer, it's that whole entire group chat type thing that I'm not comfortable with some of the things that are said now. And it seems like a lot of the times it's a lot of the younger guys that just want to say whatever the hell they want. They have, you know, the complete ambiguity or whatever you want to say of, you know, being behind a Xbox Live account. And some of the stuff they say will actually crack you up with what they say. It's absolutely funny. But in the same aspect, it's not something that I would want, you know, no offense here, Sloth, but I don't know if I'd want my 12-year-old son listening to some of that shit. I'd be like, you play it, but you gotta mute out all the people.
Yeah, my mom tells me that a lot. If she hears me swear, I do get like a slap on the ass.
Yeah, and that's the little thing. I tend to swear quite often, and I kind of think it's because I can't do it at work, so I want to do it when the hell I want at home, right? And what else I want to go ahead and talk about, this is something that my wife actually wanted to talk about, is women in gaming. And it seems like this is a population that seems to be kind of growing right now. If you guys follow the competitive scene for Call of Duty, there's lots of, you know, only women tournaments and stuff going on like that. And she really wanted to know if you guys have any ideas of how gaming companies and game developers can go ahead and kind of reach out to those minority gaps, you know, getting the women, getting the people who normally don't play video games, such as the other population or the older population as well. You guys got any thoughts or ideas, anything on this?
Well, I know, like, my wife, she plays she has a GameCube, and then she also has a DS, the 3D version stuff. So she plays games, but not the same stuff I play. She absolutely hates Call of Duty. She hates Black Ops. She thinks it's boring. She hates when I play it and everything. But when it comes to her games, she plays, like, Cooking Mama. She plays, like, like these fashion design stuff. She plays Zelda on GameCube. So she has, like, her own little niche of games. But I feel that even on the DS and stuff, you'll find more like cooking stuff or maybe like runway fashion games kind of stuff aimed towards women, I guess, or like teenage girls. But I actually don't come across too often on PS3 when you're jumping a lobby and you actually have a girl playing Black Ops. Majority of them are guys.
That you excitement know. That you get. Oh my god, it's a girl.
Exactly. You know, everyone in the lobby is hitting on her and stuff. And you know,
yeah, no one knows throwing. What to do when that kind of happens and there's a girl in the lobby. It's that oh my god type moment. And then someone says something that's completely inappropriate and she backs out. And like, you fool, you blew it.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, my girlfriend, she plays Call of Duty every single day. Like, she loves it. And
does she really? I hear her in the background telling you, we should have her on the show instead of yours.
Yeah, she definitely plays Call of Duty. And it's funny because people see her name and just assume it's a girl. And so she'll get messages like, are you a girl?
What's her gamer tag? You want to throw out her gamer tag?
No, that's all right.
Sure, we could get her a couple messages real quick.
No, that's quite all right.
Is she on PS3 or Xbox?
She plays PS3, my bad. PS3, and she doesn't play the new one. She's quite fond of previous edition.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the old ones as too, but I think it's kind of just anything that's in the past, you kind of look at it fondly. Even though if you go ahead and go and play them, Black, they do get better every time. They get, you know, the colors look nicer and everything like that. I'm just really looking forward to the jump that we have into the next generation. And I want to know if you guys think this is something that I've kind of been experiencing. It seems like as each Call of Duty comes out, the lifespan seems to shrink and shrink and shrink. And we're 6 months out, and it seems like a lot of people have actually quit playing the game. It was super easy to get to the, you know, your Prestige Master. And as far as in years past, you used to have to play for, you know, 15, 20 days before you got to the last Prestige. And now you can do it in, you know, eight or 10 days or something like that. Are you guys getting tired of the game, or is it another reason that you guys are kind of stuck in on Call of Duty?
Well, like, when I started playing Call of Duty, I noticed right away that leveling wouldn't be the hardest, and especially now, and when the new Call of Duty released now, I'm only, like, 5th Prestige, and I'm struggling to level up right now, just because I bought the game a little late, so I kind of had troubles with that, but when I bought MW3 and I got it on the midnight release, so right away when I got it, I started gaming out, like, right away, and I hit that 10 Prestige mark right away. I had definitely a lot of fun in that one game, and, you know, after, like, 6 months or so, I don't know, I got so bored of that game, and I just stopped playing completely. Like, I lost so much interest in it just because, you know, when, I don't know, you could reset your stats and stuff, but you just get so bored of the same thing over and over, and, you know, I don't know, my friends, I always wanted to go, like, join a game. I was, like, one of those person, oh, let's make a private match and just do something fun. But those people mostly don't want to do that. They're just in for the game just to play it. But I'm just the type of person who likes to play the game and just have, like, a little laughter and that type of stuff. So, yeah, I got bored quick.
How about you, Mr. Punk Man?
Personally, you know, I'm not going to lie. Playing Black Ops right now, I get kind of bored easily. And sometimes I notice when I'm, like, halfway through a game, like, I kind of just zone off. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I just kind of, like, don't care if I get killed a shitload of times. Yeah. I don't even care anymore. Like, I'm just playing a play. But I find more fun, like, actually running with a party of people. Like, you know, I play with quite a few people, like Azdeck and Lyra TV. And I have more fun playing with those guys, just talking to them and interacting with them, than actually playing the actual game. You know, just to me, playing with a teammate, it makes the game more fun. And I rather play the party mode games, like the fast-paced Sticks and Stones,
yeah,
gun game, over Domination or Hardpoint any day, man. Because I just love how, you know, the game could change so fast on you. You could be number one and get hatcheted and then you lose the game. I just love the reactions. And personally, you know, if I'm not playing with a group of people, I probably just not play at all until my friends jump on.
So you're really there more for the interaction, the social interaction, than the actual gameplay, then, right?
I would say so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's almost like you need it to carry you through those kind of low moments and everything like that. And I also wonder that now, since you're running a channel on top of it, if there's that kind of need for gameplay, need to kind of stay on top of it, which also kind of makes it a little bit more tiresome quickly than it would be in before. And I know for me, it's just I'm very goal-oriented. So I need something else to strive for, something else to get, or the game gets kind of stale for me. And yeah, I kind of feel like this map pack, and you guys will experience it kind of soon here, is kind of enough to give it that rebirth, because we're only halfway through it, and I really don't think I can play the game for the full, you know, 12 months if something here exciting doesn't happen.
But I know, like, currently I'm still, you know, I'm on my last Prestige right now, and I'm playing, but I remember when I hit level 15, I believe, on Black Ops, that Prestige level. After I hit that, man, I pretty much didn't play for 2 months. Like, I didn't have any goal anymore. I didn't have, like, the want to play because I wanted a Prestige. But even, like, Modern Warfare 3, like, I played until Prestige level 4. And then I just got so burnt out, I didn't play for, like, 3 or 4 months, man. So at $50 I paid for the new maps and everything, I really didn't play them at all because I just was so burnt out of Call of Duty and the first-person shooter thing. And when I got Black Ops 2, I kind of figured, like, I'll give it another shot, and I actually like the game, but now I'm doing YouTube. I feel like I have to play more just to get the gameplay I want, or even when it comes to the DLC stuff, yeah, I'm on PlayStation 3, but when I get the maps, there's going to be a shitload of videos already on the new maps and the new zombie mode. So it kind of puts PC and PS3 on the back burner, where Does my subscribers want to see another video about, you know, Magma or Studio? Yeah, yeah. Because there's a shitload of them already on YouTube, and it kind of sucks being a commentator when it comes to that kind of stuff, the whole, you know, month behind thing.
You know, when I started XRillo, like, my first videos are just pretty much based on tips and tricks and stuff, so I got my audience from that, and then when I zoned off, like, off tips and tricks, because there's so many videos about how to do that and stuff, I don't know, people were already seen it, and I didn't feel like overdoing it, so I was at that point already where I didn't know what topic I should do, and then I pretty much went on with Black Ops 2, like, live commentary and that type of stuff. I didn't get the biggest feedback, but I did, so, but I got, like, a couple of dislikes because, you know, my channel wasn't based on that, and if I start something new every time, I feel like my subscribers would enjoy it or maybe dislike it and that type of stuff, but, like, when you start your channel of Black Ops 2 or any Call of Duty, you know, your subscribers are gonna want that, but if you're already bored of it and you're just lacking of posting that only and you're trying to only get the gameplays with that commentary and, you know, like, sometimes, like, when I had XRillo, I would think, like, I would post something like Far Cry 3 and that type of stuff, but I didn't know if it would be right or not. Like, if I can lose subscribers, if I gain subscribers, but, you know, it's just, like, it's audience issues, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I completely understand that. Another quick question I want to go ahead and ask is something that we asked our guests last week, and now this is, you get two guns, it's a zombie apocalypse. What guns are you taking?
AK-47.
And?
Yeah. PDW.
And a PDW. How about you there, baseball?
Well, I only know real weapons, so I'm going to take
my... Those are real weapons.
Well, I understand that, but my personal, what I've carried, I'll take my M4 and 50 cal.
M4 nice. And a 50 cal, huh? I would ask you what perks you want to take, but you really don't know any perks.
Not a clue.
With an M4 and a 50 cal, I don't want maybe Ghost. Something with a ghillie suit. Now, what kind of perk would you take here, Sloth?
Definitely quick draw, yeah. Or fast hands.
Now, I was the only one who said Juggernaut.
Oh, dude. Well, if you can go into the zombie perk, then I would definitely go with Juggernaut, too.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have that. In other words, you go down just way too freaking quick. Now, I got a couple of hypothetical questions that I want to go ahead and ask you guys here. This one was actually, if you guys follow Rooster Teeth at all, they were kind of go ahead and talking about this. And they're saying you could have $2,000 a day, but in order to have that $2,000 a day, every time you took a shit, you had to wipe 100 times. Would you do it or would you not?
Oh my god, dude. Shit.
Oh.
I guess I would try it, man. I mean, it's $2,000.
$2,000 a day. It turns out to be, over $700,000 a year is what you'd be making on this.
Are we talking about, like, baby wipes here? Or are we talking about, like, this
toilet paper? You can have baby wipes, but every time you know, for the first 99 wipes, it's going to be almost like you're smearing a turd. It's going to be that nasty-ass shit.
That's horrible.
And then on that 100th one, it's going to be nice and clear, and you're good to go.
I guess I would give it a shot, man, but who knows.
You give it a shot? You're going to do
would.
It?
I would try.
Sloth, you said you're into?
I would try it and then just try to hold in my shit. I don't know.
Also, you're going to change your diet so you don't shit very often. All right. What do you got here, baseball? What are you going to do?
700 grand a year? Is that what you factored out to be?
700 grand a year is what it'd work out to. $2,000 a day.
Why not? 700 grand? Let's do it.
I mean, shit, you know how many baby wipes you could afford at that much?
I mean, I know.
At 700 something thousand dollars a year, you could have some kind of a plastic procedure so you could have plastic around your asshole or something. So it would be nice, smooth, and you wouldn't have to worry about it. You'd have the baseball pitch counter to go ahead and count your wipes, you know, make sure that you're getting close. Now, as far as speed and efficiency goes, how long do you think it'd take you to get 100 wipes in?
I don't know. I'll guess about, like, 2 months.
A month? What'd you say?
Yeah, a month. I don't know. I'm guessing.
A month? Every day you got to do this, though. Every day.
I don't know. I'll go with a month.
Next time you go take a shit, you're going to be like, all right, well, that's about 15 seconds. Multiply that by... Are you guys the ones? What kind of speed are you guys talking here?
I don't know. I guess if you're trying to bust out 100, man, I guess you'd do some auto speed ass wiping kind of thing, but I don't know. Like, God, that's a creepy question, to be honest. I don't even know how to answer that.
You don't even know how fast I wipe my ass. I get the job done. That's all you have to worry about. Baseball, what you got? You a fast ass wiper? Being in the military, you guys pretty quick at that?
Yeah. Let's just get them done.
See, I'm picturing some kind of contraption that you could use, like a bicycle and pedal it, and it would just kind of wipe your ass real quick. You get it done in 30 seconds, you know. It might fling some shit all over the place, but it'd be done, right? Just hire a daily maid to go ahead and there's going to be some fecal matter on these walls. I'm going to need you to clean this up every time I'm in here. I'll give you, $200. You do that. Now, kind of the along the same lines, but this one's a little bit worse now. Same thing. You have a guy that stands next to you at all times. And no matter what it is, if you want something, he'll be able to reach his hand in his pocket and pay for it with exact change. The only, catch on this is that every time he does this, he has to stick his finger in your ass. What do you guys do?
Wait, put your finger in your own ass, or he puts his finger in your ass?
He's
going
to put his finger in your ass. He's going to be able to pay with exact change or whatever you're trying to buy, but first he's got to put his finger in your ass. What are you doing? Baseball makes sure no one's around?
What the hell is wrong with you? What makes you think of this stuff?
Hey, talking to you, man. Like,
I should say these are ideas that my wife came up with, but they're not, I need to get something to get you guys thinking outside of the box here. No one wants to go ahead and address this.
Well, first, it depends on how deep he goes inside.
Finger
in there? Or just like a little... I don't know.
Knuckle deep, man. Seriously.
Knuckle deep. You're going third knuckle deep, huh?
Oh, my God. I didn't even know what to do then.
I think Maze Man owns that couch website where people crash on there and stuff, man.
Yeah, that's what I run, like you... man.
I don't know. I say no, man. I don't want a guy's finger in my ass, to be honest. No. I mean, you buy so much shit throughout the whole day. I mean, I'm down. I say no. I pass on that one.
Well, just wouldn't just, like... Down? Okay, what do you got, baseball?
And I can unlimited purchases. Like, I can do
unlimited
whatever I
purchases.
Want.
Whatever you want, he just reaches in his pocket. He's got exact change for it. Just a finger in your ass.
Is he a little guy? Does he have fat fingers?
He's probably your worst nightmare. He's probably got big old Andre the Giant fingers. Oh, okay.
Then I'm gonna pass. I'm not a very large guy. That'll devastate me. Can't do it.
And Sloth, you said you're passing as well.
Yeah. No, I don't want no finger up my ass. No,
I mean, you guys are talking whatever the fuck you want. I mean, you want a million-dollar house. This guy's just going to pull it out of his hands. I mean, you don't have to buy shit every fucking day, right?
Well, all of a sudden you have, like, this whole infection in your ass.
Well, I guess we didn't, go through the whole sanitary side of it. Yeah, sure. Or exactly why he wants his finger in your ass every time he's going to buy you something. But, seriously, I mean, you're talking, you could have millions of dollars a year for this dude to stick a finger in your ass. The doctor's going to do it when you hit 40 regardless.
Just think about it. You need to buy a pack of gum, dude. But you know the consequences of doing it. They're going to have a finger in your ass.
I wouldn't buy a fucking pack of gum. I'd say, you know what? I don't need gum that fucking bad. What I'd do is I'd go online and I'd order everything on Amazon for the whole month.
That's a good idea.
All in one bam, here's, $200,000 order. All right, let's go ahead and do this. Let's get it done. Make sure you lick that finger first. and they kind of get it done and over with. You could have everything. You wouldn't have to work anymore.
That's so creepy, dude. I'm
sorry. Okay. You're going to go ahead and hate on me on that one, huh? Well, you know what? You guys can go ahead and call me fucking odd, but I'd have all the shit I fucking wanted.
Yeah. Hey, Mace, man, before we get your questions get any weirder and this gets out of control, I actually have to take off.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by. And go ahead and let us know what your blog website is. Go ahead and throw that out real quick.
All right. My blog is baseballdreamin.blogspot.com. You can also follow me on Facebook. Just search Baseball Dreamin. Twitter handle is Baseball Dreamin. And I also write for a website that highlights technology innovation in the Midwest. And that's siliconrustbelt.com. So if you guys want to check that out, hit it up.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, man, I just want to say thanks for your service, dude. That's really cool. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yep.
He wants to be the man standing next to you.
All right, guys. I'll see you later.
All right, take care. All right. I guess we'll go ahead and jump back into a little bit. Is there any kind of gaming topics you guys want to talk about at all?
I don't know. Like, have you noticed how like people in Black Ops 2 has changed than it used to be? Like, I know, like, from going from all the swear words and kill little kids playing, but when I used to play, like, MW3, I would not have that many little kids, and all of a sudden when I'm in Black Ops 2, obviously, there is more little kids, so I think, like, the audience of little kids are actually growing as we speak, so I don't know, like, what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Mr. Punkman, go ahead and address it first.
Well, to be honest, man, like, from what I can recall, I think PS3 actually, the audience that plays Call of Duty that I noticed are actually more of, like, I would say teenagers and maybe like, you know, mid-age adults, but I've heard rumors that actually like Xbox 360 is just flooded with a bunch of like, little kids playing multiplayer.
Definitely on PC too. Like,
oh, really on PC?
Every lobby there's always those like those groups of little kids and they're just pretty annoying. Luckily on PC we like every time you have a mic on PlayStation or Xbox and you have it hooked up, you know, you would hear them as you if they would talk or anything. But on PC, you have to press the button down to talk to the people. So I think half of the little kids wouldn't get that, so they would not speak at all. So be careful about that. And half the times the people would use TeamSpeak and those kind of devices to talk to each other, not through the, you know, Black Ops 2 conversation thing. So it's pretty hard to make like montages, like funny things in PC. So I'm struggling with that, but hopefully for my birthday, I can get a HDPVR and just try to go on PlayStation and get that started there.
So you have a PlayStation 3 as well then?
Yeah.
Dude, okay. That'd be cool, man, to make some videos with you, Willow. I mean, a sloth. Seriously, man. You gotta get in that PS3, bro.
You guys make me feel so left out. All you guys all have the PlayStation 3, and I'm just sitting over here with my new map pack.
Hey, man, I'm jealous still, bro. You can't throw it in my face.
And yeah, I kind of feel like the average Call of Duty gamer is definitely younger. I seen a meme kind of floating around, and it's it has Call of Duty and has its target audience, and you know it's kind of that 18 to 25 year old, you know, demographic, and then it has its, you know, real audience, and it's kind of the whole 12 to 15 year old audience, and then it has Pokemon, you know, Pokemon's target demographic is the 12 to, you know, 15, and it's got all the, you know, the older guys watching it, the Pokemon, and then it had My Little Pony, how it was like, you know, target audience, a bunch of girls. But you guys have heard of bronies? You guys heard of bronies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You got a bunch of older guys that are absolutely loving My Little Pony. I don't get that. I haven't watched any My Little Pony or anything like that. You guys got some embarrassing cartoons that you still watch that you're not too afraid to admit?
Phineas and Ferb? I still watch that.
Phineas and Ferb. I said that right?
Ferb, yeah.
Yeah, I had that freaking theme song stuck in my head forever. For some reason, my daughter's getting to that point in time where she kind of likes to watch TV, especially animation stuff, that bright kind of stuff. And we watched that all like a Sunday morning for a couple hours straight. It was like some kind of marathon or something. That's a pretty good show.
If I come across like Spider-Man, dude, like I used to watch old Spider-Man cartoons and like even the old Batman series, I'll watch them. But when it comes to cartoons now, I'll just watch like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Family Guy, or just something. I like watching Adult Swim on Cartoon Network, dude, because that stuff is just so so wrong in the right ways.
Now, do you watch Metalocalypse?
I've seen a couple episodes of that. It's pretty cool, like how like that metal band, you know, like
there's
like they're actually a band, dude. They play.
I know that they are a band, and I absolutely love that show. It's just kind of hilarious. I love the whole kind of music aspect of it and how they're like rulers of the world and they don't really freaking know it. It's just I absolutely love that, and you have Murderface, the bass player, in it and everything. And have you ever seen Metalocalypse at all there, Sloth?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Do you guys have Adult Swim on Cartoon Network?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's all these cartoons, but they're meant for adults. So they're definitely
Does it have like Pikachu in some type of Asian way?
I think it might have on Sunday nights. It has some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it in a while though. But that was definitely one of those things that when I stay up late now, I love to watch my Adult Swim. It's one of those things that I kind of really miss, especially from college, because that was the peak time that you're watching shows, you know, from, you know, 11 o'clock to 2 in the morning, and having fun then, and now you're like, oh, it's 10 o'clock, it's time for bed.
Even, like, Robot Chicken's pretty funny, man, like, the whole clay, yes. You know, the clay stuff, and then, but I noticed on Sloth's back wall that he has a Beavis and Butthead, dude, that's pretty cool.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of those, too, but I don't know, lately they're not showing a lot of episodes, because it's on MTV, so there's sometimes, like, 12 to 13 little boys watching that, so they don't want to show that at the same time, so usually they would turn it on at like 12 a.m. and, you know, I got to go to bed at that time, so yeah, I can't watch it a lot anymore, but on Sundays and Saturdays, I do watch it a lot, so.
Now, they brought Beavis and Butthead back now. They're doing new episodes, right?
Yep. They did, but I don't think it was as successful as the first time around, dude. So
no, it wasn't. The new episodes are pretty shitty, I guess I could say, but they're not as hilarious as they used to be. But yeah, I like their movies too, so I always have the movies from them.
Yeah, I remember sneaking over to my neighbor's house to watch Beavis and Butthead because he had cable and we didn't have cable. And next thing you know, I'd be running over there with my shirt over my hand. I'm the great Cornholio, you know, for days on end and all that kind of stuff. And playing the game. They had a game for a while, too, the Beavis and Butthead game. I think it was on either Nintendo or Super Nintendo, playing that and everything like that. And just kind of cool that King of the Hill kind of spawned from Beavis and Butthead and turned into a big thing, and Mike Judge actually did a lot of stuff. And at the time, they were kind of edgy because it was a cartoon kind of centered around music videos.
Yeah.
And now they don't show music videos on MTV. It's no longer music television. It's reality television.
Yeah.
Which we kind of went on a rant on last week how everything's freaking reality now. And it's all scripted reality, such as Duck Dynasty.
What one show I do miss on MTV, dude, was Celebrity Deathmatch. I love that. With
that
the play,
was good, and it always had so cool. Mills Lane, I think it was. The referee.
The referee.
One, two, three, it's all over.
Dude, he even kicked some ass sometimes, dude. It was funny.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. Those were the good days right there. Quick question for you guys. Before we go ahead and jump into some more serious topics, I had briefly talked about, you know, the women's competitive side. Now, I know you're not a big follower on the competitive side, Mr. Punkman. Sloth, do you follow competitive scene at all?
I'm sorry. I don't even know what that means.
Like Optic Gaming, all the competitive pro Call of Duty players.
What about them,
though? Well, anyways, they have this women's league that they were kind of started.
Oh.
And okay. I'm not sure if it was – they had one that was a co-ed where you had to have two guys and two girls on your team. And one of the teams that was absolutely raping in this, doing freaking, I shouldn't probably use raping, but absolutely doing, you know, tearing people up with this, it turns out that their number one person was a male that they thought was a female the whole time.
Oh.
And it kind of brings into this whole thing. Now, are we going to get into this issue with people acting like they're women to further themselves in Call of Duty? You guys hear about that?
There is people on YouTube, like YouTubel. I'm not sure if you guys know him, but he always pretends like he's a woman, and then he would kind of, after he's done playing with them and trying to get them a little horny, I guess I could say, he would just bring up he's a guy, and then, you know, laughter starts and he makes fun of them. So I don't know. It's kind of weird that people do start acting like they're girls, so I don't know what to think, but it's just weird, I guess.
I guess I could see why, like, a guy would want to, you know, imitate a woman playing Call of Duty. If they're playing for money, yeah, I can understand that. But, like, if you're just playing for the fun of it, man, and you're just, like, competitively trying to act like, you know, like you're a female playing Call of Duty, that's kind of low. And personally, I just random to me. I don't understand, like, why you want to portray yourself as being a woman. But if you're that good playing Call of Duty in the first place, why don't you just be a man, you know, and just, you know, make your own name instead of just trying to, be, like, cheat the system and play against women.
Yeah. My whole thing is, did you not think anybody was going to find out?
Exactly.
I mean, and, you know, I don't know. What was that?
Did they find out, though, that he was a guy?
Yeah, they found out that he was a guy, but it's still kind of in that rumor. No one's confirmed it, but I guess, you know, they are not responding, so it's pretty much true. And it's just kind of, I'm wondering how old the person is, whether or not it's someone who's really good at Call of Duty, really young, kind of hasn't hit that, you know, lower voice type issue, and decided to go ahead and take advantage of it because everyone was calling him a girl anyways. Might as well run with it, right?
Well, if they play competitively, man, don't they, like, go in person and compete? I mean, can't you tell by looking at this person if they're a man?
At LAN events, they're in person, but a lot of these events are just online. They're solely It's so much more efficient, cheaper to be able to run a tournament online than have the entire overhead of, you know, renting a place, providing, you know, all this, all the consoles, the TVs, the wires, all that kind of stuff, just to have it online.
Yeah.
But it's definitely kind of crazy. Let's go ahead and talk about something that is really serious. It's something I kind of wanted to discuss with baseball just because he had a military background. But I didn't want to go ahead and bring the, you know, start the podcast on such a low note. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the Boston bombing real quick, just because it's kind of, I don't want to say it's came full circle, but they have caught both of the suspects. One, I think, do believe is still in custody, not doing really well, but I really don't care. And I'm kind of interested, especially since you're from Canada, to have someone who is from the outside looking in kind of viewpoint. What do you think of this whole entire debacle? What is the viewpoint in Canada at this point in time?
Well, like, lately in school, like, the last couple weeks, people have been talking about it, like, a lot, and at that point, I'm like, it happened, and, you know, you can't redo it now, and I'm not saying, like, it's it sucks this has happened. I can't believe that people would be at that type of low point and actually do this to other people. Like, it's pretty sad, and, like, I feel sorry for the people that lost their family members and stuff, but like it happens, and then a lot of people talk about it, and then things spread, and I don't like that because, you know, people would start rumors about it and not saying the truth. And I had a friend of mine who's actually from Pakistan, and he was missing on those 4 days when it actually all happened, and right when he came back to school, people would start making fun of him and saying that he was one of the people. And I'm just, like, so sick and tired. Like, that's just racist to me. And I'm like, I can't believe that people that would say that. And he actually was in Pakistan visiting his family at that point. And you know, I just kind of defended him and said, no, like, that's just racist. And I get that a lot, too, because I'm from Germany. And, you know, Hitler, of course. And that he's my worshiper, but he's not, like... I think, like, he's one of the idiotic people in the world that he would do such thing as something like that. That he did back then. And I'm just, like, tired of the society, like, treating people like this, but, you know, you gotta deal with it and just don't care about it. And, yeah, I don't know. We're a little deep in there.
No, you're good, you're good. Mr. Punkman, what were your initial feelings when you kind of heard this, that it kind of happened on Monday, that this bombing had occurred? Did you immediately think that it was terrorist, or did you think it was an insider? What did you think?
Personally, man, I thought it was Al-Qaeda. First thing popped in my head, I was like, holy shit. You know, they were able to, you know, do it again, but not on, you know, a bigger scale. It's 9/11, but, you know, when I saw the news feed, man, like, I was just disgusted. I just thinking to myself, you can't even, like, something so innocent, like a Boston, like, just a race, dude. Family's there to go cheer your loved ones on. You can't even do that anymore, and, like, there's always some idiots out there who got to ruin the fun and just make, you know, life a little more disturbing, but I thought it was Al-Qaeda. I'm not gonna lie, I did. But when it came out to be like two guys from Russia, it was kind of interesting to hear. And then later on, finding out that I guess in 2001, 2002, Russia asked the United States FBI to look at the older brother, and apparently, you know, the FBI did an investigation on this guy because they were living in the States at that time, and they found nothing on him. But it turned out later on, you know, this guy actually was one of the bombers and committed this horrible crime, and I feel so bad, and that those innocent, the three people lost their lives. There's that little kid, and it's just like, you know, what is this world coming to, you know? And it's just really depressing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just to go ahead and clarify it, they're from Chechnya, which is actually used to be part of the Soviet Union, but it's more of a Middle Eastern country, not really part of Russia. They are a big Muslim community, and they just want to make sure that people know we are not Russia. But if you guys seen, we just had Lyright join in the podcast from last week, and he is from Australia. So I wanted to give another person who has that international kind of point of view on here. Lyright, what do you kind of think? Is the Boston bombing any kind of big news so far down under?
Yeah, people were pretty shocked by it, man. I know anyway from where I was, we're pretty stunned by it. Like, as Punkman was saying, like, first thing that popped into our heads was Al-Qaeda and stuff like that. And then here a couple of days ago, here two Russians did it. And, you know, it's kind of strange that way. It had a bit of an effect over here as well, because we're sort of, I wouldn't say fearing, but, you know, sort of we're kind of concerned about all that stuff as well.
As, now, are you guys more concerned about North Korea, since you guys are kind of within range of their nuclear attacks?
Yeah, we're on the most outer edge of their nuclear attacks, and for me, which is good, I live near the top of Australia, which is nice and lovely, but I don't think we're fearing it too much, because I think it was like the Chinese said they were going to intercept any rockets that would be fired now, so that's kind of a way to kind of think about it safely. I don't think we're a prime target for North Korea, but yeah, it's still a bit daunting, I guess.
Now, my question for you guys are, a lot of people will go ahead and I don't want to say conspiracy, but a lot of people will have discussed that it could be a possible conspiracy and will point out that, you know, they could have done a whole lot more damage and all this kind of fun stuff. But one of my big things that kind of struck me was I seen a post from some people from Syria. If you guys don't know what's kind of going over there, they're in a huge war themselves or a revolution, and stuff like this happens every day over there. And we just don't read about it. And it was a group of them, and they were all, you know, they're a Muslim group, and they're all holding a sign. And the sign says, this stuff happens every day here. You know, it's just, you guys choose not to see it. Don't let, you know, the act of these two people, if they come out that they are Muslim, influence what you think about our religion. We're, you know, 99% of us are peaceful people. And they're kind of doing the whole peace sign, and there was the whole translation. I thought that was kind of unique that so many people, especially on the American side of thing, think that Muslims are these, you know, irrational group of people who are just out there to hurt other people, and it's just this one small percentage, and also the lack of education that causes this. And I want to know, is this a United States phenomenon, or you know, do you guys have religious groups that people just don't understand in Australia and also in Canada as well?
Well, honestly, like when you said that, like people like from, did you say Muslim, I think?
Yes.
From that one country. Yeah, like half of the people are peaceful, and you know, not everyone from that country is like bad. Like I'm saying, like the same thing I'm saying, like I'm from Germany and I'm pretty much like the peaceful person you could ever meet. Like I am pretty nice and stuff, but when we have those like that one day for when we lost all the soldiers and stuff, Canada Day, I think it's called, I totally forgot already, but people, like, they would bring up pictures of Hitler and stuff, and just, the Nazi son, and people would be looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And then I feel kind of like I'm not, like, kind of treated right, and I don't think it's, like, right, like, that this is already happening, and people are treating like me this, like, I was one of those people that did that, and it's just, like, wrong, I think, like, that people would do that, and they just should look back and say, like, you know, you're not one of those bad people, and you know, you kind of deserve a high five or whatever. Just be nice to one person.
Yeah. What about you down under in Australia?
I don't know. I find we give the impression that we're multicultural, I guess. But really, we're a bit kind of discriminant against that. Like, I know the groups that we'd perceive would probably be the same as USA. A lot of our ideologies, I guess, are taken from the US. So it's
damn
straight. Yeah, it's kind of hard. No. Yeah, yeah. Because we've like got such a small population, it's obviously pretty much influenced as a whole. But yeah, no, I couldn't really give much of an opinion on that, I guess, because, like, we kind of don't really, I guess, see much of a threat from any of it. Yeah.
You kind of got secluded, kind of away from it. Now, like I said, I had kind of talked about conspiracies, and I'm not going to go ahead and call this conspiracy at all. I was actually listening to a radio show, and they had a conspiracy theorist on there named Alex Jones, and he's like, I think he's a pretty crazy guy. I think he's been on Howard Stern's a couple times as well. I see you shaking your head over there.
Yeah,
this guy, he's kind of off his rocker. A lot of these conspiracy guys are. But some of the stuff he talks about, it kind of makes you think. And, you know, is there any conspiracy that you guys have that kind of really points out for you guys, you know, in past, of anything that you think we weren't told the truth, whether or not this be something about Bigfoot or aliens or anything like that that really sticks out for you guys?
Personally, I feel like the big one that I always hear about, man, is that, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. Yeah. That people say that, you know, President Bush and our government planned that whole thing about the planes and the Twin Towers and just to, you know, start a war, to go in Iraq, and just to, because apparently the rumor is that George Bush, the son, wanted to get revenge for his dad, apparently.
Yeah, Saddam had tried killing George Bush Sr.
So that's why, like, it was an inside job just to go over there, get oil, all that stuff, which personally I think it's a crock of shit. You know, Osama bin Laden admitted, took responsibility for that horrible act, and, you know, he got what he deserved, in my opinion. But to me, that's like the most stupid, idiotic thing I've ever heard about coming when it comes to conspiracies and that kind of stuff that sticks out.
It was 9/11. Do you guys have any kind of big conspiracies from where you guys are from?
Not really.
Nothing kind of crazy?
Nope. No, it's pretty nothing, much nothing.
Man. I think it's kind of American and Russian phenomenon, huh?
I think so.
I heard a conspiracy that when Australians are born, dude, they come out with, like, knives in their hands and shit, dude. Like, they're ready to wrestle crocodiles. Is that true, Lyra?
I wouldn't say knife, maybe razor blades, but, you know, I came out with...
They come out with Wolverine claws.
There you go.
Came out with a handful of barbed wire. Yeah.
Well, to go ahead and talk about these so-called myths or anything like that, especially being over in Canada, I know you guys got to be talking about some Bigfoots or anything like that.
Oh, all day. I don't know. We bring up that subject every grade, I think.
Now, do you guys call it a Bigfoot or do you guys call it like a Yeti or something?
Oh, we call him Yeti, but I call him Bigfoot because that makes more sense. But people do always talk about him, like, you know, I had a couple friends actually, like, going camping and they would say they actually saw him, but, like, I don't know. I don't really believe in the Bigfoot, but I kind of thing is, like, the Yeti is, like, actually just the bear, and people are just kind of confusing it. I don't know, but I don't believe in that, so I don't know. I can't say, yes, I have never seen a Yeti, but I don't know. No. When people do tell me stories about it, I'm like, interesting.
How about down under? You guys got any kind of Yeti or a Bigfoot or whatever the hell you want to call it? Just giant kangaroos. We might have lost him.
We might
have lost him. We lost the connection down under. Now, go ahead, Mr. Punkman. Let me go ahead and talk about it. Because you guys now, is the Chupacabra in Arizona at all? Or is
I'll just bring that up, man. Yeah, that's actually like an Arizona, like Mexico thing. And if you guys know what that is, the Chupacabra, it's like this little, supposed to be alien vampire animal that actually sucks the blood out of like cows and shit like that. And apparently, like, this thing's from space. And a couple years ago, they used to find these cows with, like, puncture marks in its neck, and nothing would be cut up on the animal, just, like, the blood would be sucking out, and they said that it was, like a wolf-like dog thing with fangs, and they call it Chupacabra, and it's, like, a whole, like, Latino mystical creature kind of thing, so.
Now, I thought they caught one 2 years ago or something like that. Was it just, like, a mangy dog or something they might have
Well, I saw a video of, like, it's, like, this dog running, like down some dirt road, dude. Some guy caught it and put it on YouTube, but, I don't know if that's a legit Chupacabra. I've never seen one before. I don't believe it, but I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of live in Michigan. I live pretty close to a city, so it's not like a total wooded area. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a Bigfoot or something that could be alive. It just seems odd that you'd have so many accounts on almost every single continent of this same exact type creature. And we all know kind of how the evolution of the human species kind of went. And, you know, we always kind of wondered, well, whatever happened to, you know, I don't know, Homo erectus or whatever it was, like, you know, the first ones that started standing up. And what kind of lineage did they go into? And it'd be kind of naive to think that a creature or a group of creatures could not survive without any kind of human contact. And, you know, especially in Canada, you've seen where you go into woods and you could scream as loud as you wanted and no one's going to hear you. No one's going to see you. Oh, and, yeah. You know, it's just, there's so many possibilities in nature and wilderness. this, that it's definitely is plausible, whether or not it was something that was in years past and it no longer exists just because it couldn't queue up the numbers. You know, who knows? But I like to hope that there maybe be a Bigfoot or something. That'd be pretty cool.
Dude, we've had that in Australia. We even think we call it a Yowie, I think, though, they say.
A Yowie? Yeah, that's what I call like when I fall and I was like, oh, yeah, I got a Yowie!
That's funny. It's really strange. Hang on, I'll try and bring a picture of it up. Hang on, this is like a conspiracy. Someone said that
it's not gonna be like one. A big furry kangaroo, is it?
I don't know, man. But it's
that's a gorilla.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, we don't have gorillas in Australia. We don't have monkeys.
If you go ahead, let's see if I can hold this up here real quick. If you look at it, where the actual like thing is coming from, look how deep that is into the actual photo. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, but that's the weird kind of thing. We don't have any sort of monkeys. I found that really weird.
No Australian monkeys, huh?
There's no such thing. No such thing.
Hey, Lyra, real quick, dude. I was going to ask you, man. I've heard that apparently in Australia there's like a faction of Al-Qaeda that's there, dude. Is that true?
Faction of Al-Qaeda?
That's what I've heard, that they're like, there's some of those individuals in that country. Have you heard of that?
There might be people tied in, but and they're getting them into our country. They would have had to work magic. I mean, fucking hell. Like, even my dad gets fucking taken by customs and done all that stuff whenever he comes into the country. So really? I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how that would kind of. I don't know. If they are, they're obviously not really planning anything, I guess. Because our national security is fairly good, and we would have picked up on it at least by now. So yeah. I'm not sure about that one. I haven't heard anything, unless the Australian media is trying to, I don't know, kind of minimize our viewing on that. But I really have not heard anything about that.
Sorry, it's kind of off topic, guys. But I thought of that question. So
that's all good.
To go ahead and kind of spur off of how I was kind of talking about how I think someone could survive out in the woods without any kind of contact, there's a couple stories that actually I had heard, one recently and one I had heard pretty long ago. And it was a story about a guy in Maine. And if you guys don't know where Maine is, Myra, you might not. It's kind of in the upper, you know, northeastern spot you can in the United States. It's kind of right next to the ocean, or a lot of, you know, wooded area and everything like that. But a guy lived 27 years without any kind of human contact. And what he was doing was stealing supplies from campgrounds. For 27 years he lived before they finally caught him and kind of charged him for stealing. It's just kind of one of those crazy things. You guys ever heard of any kind of crazy stories where these people just live in wilderness forever?
I've heard of one in, I am not quite certain he told me, one in Russia about this guy who, I think he got lost or something, and he survived in the Russian, I think it was Siberia, almost Siberian wilderness for about 3 years or something. And he hadn't seen anyone for 3 years, and he ventured all the way through living off the land and, like, found civilization after that. But that to me seems pretty amazing how you could survive out there for that long.
Yeah, you got any kind of crazy survival stories from Canada?
I kind of do, but not personally. But I have a couple of friends that, you know, Canada, obviously people, like, go camping and just, like, see the landscape and stuff. And I have one friend of his dad's, he actually went on a trip, and he was lost in the woods driving on this road, and he pulled up to this house, and he didn't know if it was, like, friendly or not, but it looked really nice and stuff. But as he, like, knocks to the door, and he was actually going to ask for gas or something, I can't remember, the door just kind of magically opened, not magically, but he kind of, like, knocked on it, and it just kind of opened. And, like, you see in the movies, of course, you know, the doors in the scary movies is open completely. And you walk in, and then it's just like, there's no one in there. And the dad just told us the story, and he walked in, and the house just looked completely fine. And it was just, no one lived in it. There was spider webs everywhere, and it was dusty. But the house, like, looked really nice and stuff. I can't judge personally because I didn't see it, but he told us that it was looking really good and, you know, it was random house somewhere. So I don't know. I got really no big stories, but saying from you that one guy living in the wilderness, didn't they do a movie about two girls like living in the woods, and then it's a scary movie, I think, and it's called Mama, I think the movie's called. And yeah, I don't know. People are going off way off topic, but it's
why are you punk man? You got any wilderness stories?
Well, it's kind of, I've heard this a couple years ago, man, but, well, it's more than a couple years ago, but apparently there's a guy that was living in a cave in Vietnam. He was like one of the Vietnamese, like part of the army, and apparently he was like living in a cave hiding out. And, and they actually, he thought the war was still going on, dude. And someone found him, and they're like, man, this war's been on for, you know, 20-something years. And he was like some old guy that was hiding out from the U.S., military, and he was living in a cave all on his own because I thought the war was still active over there, man. I heard a story about that.
Are you talking about the Vietnamese person or an American?
The Vietnamese person.
Yeah, I heard that exact story, actually, and it was something like that because the Vietnamese, kind of like the military there, like they didn't bother kind of rounding their soldiers up that were still out there. Yeah. They just kind of left them, and so without knowing that the war had finished, they just sit there for ages, just not crazy. Doing anything.
But you would think, you know, like not hearing gunshots or bombs going off, you know, like something was going on.
You'd be in constant kind of panic for like 20-something years. You're just sitting there thinking someone's going to come and find you.
I know.
That would just be that would be very terrifying.
Now, are you guys talking about a Vietnamese guy, or are you guys talking about this World War II Japanese soldier? You guys heard that story?
Yeah, I've heard that.
It almost seems like it's the same story.
Yeah, I originally thought it was the Japanese one, but I heard Punkman say Vietnamese, but...
Yeah. Japanese soldier, World War II, kind of late, 1944, so it's kind of late into World War II. He gets sent onto an island, and I think it might even be a Vietnamese island. It was in the Philippines. So he kind of gets put onto an island, and they're supposed to do this kind of guerrilla warfare kind of tactic. It's a small platoon. They go there, and for 29 years, he lived in these woods kind of stealing pigs from the local villages and everything like that and would not believe anybody. Someone had left a newspaper for him showing that the war had ended. He thought it was propaganda. He wouldn't believe it. The only way then what they eventually wind up doing to get him to come down was they had to grab his commanding officer, who had been retired for many years, to come out and tell him to stand down. And as I kind of talk about it, I get a little goosebumps because I'd heard this story before and how terrified this guy was and how brokenhearted he was because he actually killed innocent villagers because he thought the war was still going on and he's trying to survive in this jungle. So, he, you know, anybody that kind of caught him, he would kill him. And, you know, people had been telling him for years that the war was over and he didn't believe him. And it wasn't until that commanding officer came in and told him, you know, it's been 29 years overdue here, that he kind of realized, had that, you know, sad realization of I killed innocent people.
Yeah.
I was away from my family for 29 years, you know?
It's terrible, isn't it? Like, that's almost like half your life, considering, assuming he was like around 20, that's almost half your life.
He was 20 years old when he was called to join the army.
Wow.
That's just, so he's like almost 50. He's half his life's gone. That's terrible.
That's just freaking crazy to have that kind of thing. And, you know, that kind of stuff can happen. It's just absolutely bizarre.
Do you think, have they made a movie about it, or do you reckon it'd be a good idea to make one about that?
You know, I imagine they might have. They might have made a movie on it. It was 1972 when he actually came from the island. So I'm sure there's probably already a couple of movies. It might not be a big blockbuster type title, but I guarantee there's a couple of movies that are already out about it.
You put The Rock in that movie, dude, I'll go blockbuster, I guarantee it.
Yeah, we know you got this little, you got this bromance with The Rock.
I would watch that opening night, dude.
And if you guys didn't see the picture of him when he's 15 years old, his chest is absolutely fucking ginormous. you're thinking about it like Jesus Christ, dude, that dude's huge.
I was thinking about that picture of his head on the hawk, dude, on the bird. That was pretty funny.
So, you know, to go ahead and kind of jump back into the gaming side of things is, you know, PlayStation 4 or Sony just announced that they're going to delay when they do their big announcement on their next console. Some people have gone ahead and said this is because they're actually going to be releasing their console after the new Xbox, that they're actually going to be aiming towards first quarter of 2014, whereas Xbox and Microsoft are aiming for fourth quarter of 2013. Do you guys think that if the game, if the new console comes out and there's a couple month difference, is that going to affect which one you purchase?
Personally, I would say no, man. Unless, like I said before, I'm a big Sony fan, and I haven't seen the new console, just what it could do, pretty much, but unless Xbox 720 or Durango, whatever it's called, is like amazing and has some new capabilities that haven't been done yet, you know, I might purchase one, or if I have the funds to buy both, I would, but I just have high hopes for PS4, and I love my PS3, and I don't see... What's falling back down there, dude?
I don't know what the fuck that was, man.
This happens every time, dude.
I know.
All the albums are there, though.
You drop something.
You have a ghost in your house, man.
Dude, it could be. It could be. I don't know, dude. I heard it. I felt it. I don't know if maybe one of the records fell out of them, because, I mean, they do have the records in them as well.
Oh, okay.
Scared the shit out of me, though.
But that, it may too. That's funny, but yeah, man. I personally think I'm going to just wait regardless of PS4 whenever it's released.
Now, yeah. Let's go ahead and throw... Sorry to cut you off. Now, let's say that the new Call of Duty is out on the Xbox, and you still have to wait a couple months now. Now what do you do?
That sucks, man. I don't know. I mean, shit. Fuck. I mean, especially having a YouTube channel, you know, that might be a big factor when it comes to that kind of stuff, because yeah. You know the news, people are going to want to see the new gameplay. I didn't even think about that. That's going to be rough. Personally, I hope that's not the case, but I don't know. I'm undecided on that one.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Like, I'm not sure if I will bother getting it at all. I don't know. It kind of depends how much money I have to spare. But once I see some trailers, I guess, and if I see this actual change from the rest of the games, then I might buy it. But other than that, at the moment, I'll probably... I'm thinking of like backtracking a bit, like playing a couple of the old games, uploading that gameplay as well. Yeah. But I'll it's still be based around it.
No.
Yeah.
Sloth, what about you?
Well, honestly, because I do play on PC, I couldn't really care less, because, you know, if the game comes out, I don't think they're gonna make an extra console just because PC needs to change up something too, so. You know, but the saying about the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox 720, that's you know, if only, like, I've been a Sony fan for like the last couple years, because I started off with PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3 now. But you know, definitely when the PlayStation 4 comes out, I do want to get that if I do have the money. But the only reason why I would change to Xbox or Xbox 720 is because of my YouTube channel. You know, if I do grow big someday. You know, people will expect to play on Xbox because there's a bigger audience of playing on Xbox and more YouTubers, of course, with Xbox. So, I'll just try to support with the Xbox people, and, you know, just the audience part is that's a big part, you know. And, yeah.
Yeah, and I was the same way, as a lot of you guys have heard, that I was actually in the Sony bandwagon, you know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, but all my friends had Xboxes, so that's kind of what I got. But what I don't think a lot of us are kind of estimating or kind of thinking about is how much the supply of the consoles is going to factor into who wins this you know, section of the console wars. If you guys remember when the Wii came out, you couldn't find one. It didn't matter where you looked, you were not going to be able to find a Wii. And it almost made you that if you were at a store and they had a Wii, you were going to pick it up because you knew you could not find it. And even if you didn't want it, there might be someone in your house that wanted it.
I didn't know that was the case in America. Were Wii's hard to come by?
Oh yeah, they were, dude. Like when the Wii came out, I wanted it right away, and you know, I had troubles for like a month finding one because people would just be over and just trying to buy one. But after I got it, after 2 months, I just got bored of it, and Wii got pretty good, and then no one really cared about the Wii anymore. But I do have a couple friends that still do play Wii, and it's kind of fun going back to it actually. So
shit. we must have just stockpiled them in Australia because there were so many everywhere.
I remember when PS3 came out, dude, the first time. I remember you couldn't find them in stores anywhere, or even the Xbox 360. And I remember seeing them on eBay for thousands of dollars, man. People would buy it with Zelda consoles and make money off it.
Really? I don't ever remember consoles being that much here.
No, but that's not the store price, dude. But they would buy like a $500.
Oh, because they're hard to come by, so they sell them for so expensive. Shit.
People would pay that shit, man, to get their hands on the new consoles. And hopefully, whatever that comes out first, the Xbox 720 or PS4, I'm sure there'd be a short supply once again, because you know, that's gonna be the hot selling topic coming this holiday season, man.
Yeah, well, how much did you pay for your PS3?
I got the PS3. I didn't buy the first generation. I got the second slim generation, and it's the 120 gigabyte hard drive on it. And I think mine came out to like $315, if I'm not mistaken, dude. And it came with a couple games too.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like the whole supply and demand is something that a lot of companies try to walk that fine line. It's almost kind of that false sense of urgency. And if you guys are kind of familiar with the diamond industry, diamonds are not as rare as people want you to think they are, De Beers. De Beers kind of runs the entire diamond industry, and you know, they have a couple sales a year of carats, and that's it. And they do this regardless of how much they mine, just because they want to keep that supply low to keep the prices up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, iPhone, Steve Jobs was someone who was really smart with this and understood that, you know, when people can't get something, they want it even more. And it's kind of that, you know, tightrope what you want to do. So, you know, with the iPhone 4, when the 4 came out, lines were crazy. It was super hard to get. Same thing with the 5. It was a little bit hard to get. The iPhone 4S, not so much, because people were kind of disappointed that you weren't coming out with a brand new one. It was just kind of a, you know, upgraded model. I'm wondering if one of these two companies is going to try taking that viewpoint on it and kind of have that low, you know, supply to drive up the prices. And I'm wondering if it's going to be Microsoft. Do you guys follow the financials of any of these companies at all?
I don't, unfortunately, no.
Like I said, I'm kind of a dork, so I kind of do. And if you guys watch Microsoft, they're not doing well financially. They're really not. Yes, the Xbox makes some money, but as you guys know, a lot of times when these consoles first coming out, the companies take a loss. It costs them more to produce the game than it does to when they actually sell it. And it's kind of figuring out how much of a loss you want to take. It works the same way for the cell phones when they first come out. That's why you have to do a two-year contract, because they know they have you roped in for so many more payments. And I'm wondering if it's going to come to play a factor into this consoles, just because it almost seems like PlayStation 4 or Sony is setting themselves up to wait for Xbox to go ahead and show their hand and then go ahead and see if they can do any kind of last-minute tweaks to make their console that much better. Or even if, you know, you can't tweak the actual physical hardware in the console, you can still go ahead and tailor your message more to counteract the strong or the positives for the Microsoft camp. And I don't know if I'm just dorky and I'm the only one that kind of thought about that. Do you guys ever think about this at all?
I can see that, man, but I know currently the big rumor is that, you know, PS3 is obviously free to play online, any game, but... Mm-hmm. They're trying to say that maybe they're going to take the approach of Xbox, where they're going to start charging a monthly fee or like $50 or $60 a year to play. I know personally, when I bought my PS3, like, I was really stoked about not having to pay for the online play. But maybe that might have to factor in later on when it comes to it being released. But because, I mean, that was a big selling factor for me, besides the Blu-ray players, that I could play for free instead of paying a monthly, like a new bill or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited, kind of have that unknown what's going on with it. Is there any other more topics that you guys like to go ahead and discuss before we kind of wrap up here?
Just if anyone is wondering or actually wants some graphics, graphic designs, or, you know, just a YouTube background, let me know, because I'm a free graphic designer. If anyone needs something, just let me know, and I'll make you something.
And where do they want them to contact you at?
Huh? Oh, yeah, Skype, just Julian, J-U-L-I-A-N, everything is small, and then dot D-L-L, so Dell, like computer.
Okay. 99.
Take you up on that offer.
It makes some good stuff, man.
And like I said, he actually made this Whiskey Bravo logo right here. I don't know if I can
I can
it all up.
I'm
blurry, put that together for us.
Kind of can see it.
Yeah, I got
quickly.
It.
And it'll be on here. And like I said, the podcast is now available on iTunes. So if you guys have an Apple product or anything like that, make sure you guys go ahead and download it so you can listen to us on the go, mobile, or anything like that. I want to go ahead and say thank you to all of our guests. Thank you for stopping by. Thanks for helping pimp out your channels. Make sure you guys check them out. There will be links to them down below if you guys are catching this on the replay as well. If you guys have any other questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, make sure you guys leave it in the comment section down below. Make sure you guys hit that like button, hit subscribe, and we'll see you guys later.